Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Marie Meslin, the Executive Director of the Capital Network. Good morning, Marie. How are you doing?
Hey, Mark. I'm great. How are you?
Good. You got a lot of books behind you. Have you read all of them?
And I read them all. Ah. No, it's just, it's a beautiful stock image, which always, I always like to have a pop of color somewhere, either on my clothes or my background, just to make things a little bit brighter.
Well, it's very nice. You could have said you read them all since COVID hit and no one would have doubted that.
That's right.
So to
let's start off this podcast by lying.
And I'm floating on the water. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Marie. I'm actually French, grew up in England and have lived in the US for about 20 years, became a US citizen last year. And my background is mostly in nonprofits, women's rights, international rights, citizenship, education, all of those kind of things. That was the first half of my career, but the second half was actually an innovation consultancy, working with Fortune 500s, nonprofits, charities, to help them kind of resolve problems they had through a creative process. So I worked with an international agency who did that for a few years. And then I came back to the US and started working at the Capital Network. So the Capital Network is a 501c3, so we are a nonprofit, and we teach entrepreneurs about the fundraising process. So the idea is to help entrepreneurs with kind of the education around what it means to raise capital. But also from a social capital perspective, we work with investors. And so the idea is to connect entrepreneurs as well with investors they probably wouldn't have had access to otherwise. So getting people as ready and as they can to either raise if that's the right thing for them or understand why they won't be raising, which is equally as important.
Actually, people actually don't talk about that very much. Usually, especially I'm in Silicon Valley, it's raise money, right? Talk to them.
Yeah, no. No, we say to entrepreneurs all the time, you know, fundraising is really, really hard. You have to know what you get, you're getting yourself into, and you have to understand the long-term aspects of it. And so for me, if you can build a company without raising, do that. 100% do that.
Yes.
But if you need capital to really grow faster, then that's kind of why we're here, to help you figure it out.
Very good advice. So what has been your experience with remote employment, both with the Capital Network and previous companies?
So I've mostly been in companies and organizations where we actually did show up for work. So it was, we definitely had an office and we would come in and there was that kind of aspect. But, you know, COVID really changed everything for us. We are an organization that runs events and workshops, used to be in person and now is online. So, you know, it's not just that our employees have gone remote, but it's our mentors, you know, the entrepreneurs we work with, you know, the investors we work with. So it's really kind of changed everything about our dynamic as an organization. But it's brought a lot of opportunities as well.
And well, one opportunity or one advantage I would think is you're traveling less, so you have more time to meet with people, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was true at the beginning where there was this kind of frenzy of connection, like wanting connection with people and, you know, kind of almost going the opposite scale as we couldn't connect offline. So we tried to overconnect online. Mm-hmm. And now I think that's moved a little bit more to moderation and figuring out what the right balance is for remote working life. And make sure that you're not spending your day just, you know, Zooming after Zoom after Zoom after Zoom and figuring out the right balance. So what we've actually done is changed our hours to suit different people in the organization. I have two children who are young and who are at home at school. So, you know, I've had to change my hours where now I will start at 10 a.m. versus, you know, starting at 9. We've decided that, you know, Fridays is a lighter day. We try not to schedule anything. So we've tried to kind of like make sure everybody has enough time set aside to not compensate by not seeing other people by overdoing it online.
Very interesting. So, you know, that brings up the next question. What do you think is the future of remote employment? And as an advisor, what are you advising startups? You know, what should be their strategy towards it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, startups are always especially early stage, are always looking for strategies to get to employ people when they don't necessarily have a lot of money to pay them. So, you know, they do it through equity, they do it through perks, they do it through all these things. And one of the things that I think, you know, you have to think about is, and we just went through this ourselves, like reviewing our vacation policy, for example, reviewing how much time we're giving people to have a life outside of work. And because we're all at home all the time, you know, it's how do you then create a space for them to replenish outside of work when the space where they live is also the space where they work. So it's definitely challenging. But you have to be really intentional in how you help people set up time for themselves, mental health wise, and breaks and things like that.
Interesting. And do you think that might have been the biggest challenge we're facing, is the mental aspect of what's going on?
I personally think so. I mean, I think, you know, in non-pandemic times, I think, you know, a lot of us operate at a certain level. Mm-hmm. And when anxiety hits, you have something you can fall back on, where you have kind of like a safe space or some reserves that you have. But in such uncertain times, those reserves have been depleted. We are all more anxious. We all have more, there's more uncertainty that we have to deal with. There's more logistics you have to deal with different aspects of your life. And so with all that uncertainty, you know, anxiety is one of the first things that happens. You know, you don't have answers to things. You can't plan ahead. And so, again, being able to provide spaces for people to be able to take care of that and take care of themselves will lead to more employee retention, because they really value that kind of space that they've been provided, and also more productivity and loyalty to the company, because they're not asked to, you know, we can't ask our employees right now to do the same kind of work that they did when they were in the office. Mm-hmm. Just not okay to do that. You know, so you have to figure out, like, what is it, what does productivity mean, and what do happy employees mean? And that cannot start without a strong a policy on mental health.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree. And I mean, we see it too. One of the things I've noticed is, especially here in the Bay Area, you know, people are getting back a lot of time because they don't have a commute anymore. I mean, in the Bay Area, it was a minimum an hour wherever you go.
Right.
So are you seeing that too with a lot of the companies that you coach or advise, that, hey, now you've got these people that have extra time, but they also have these other issues they have to deal with, and how you deal with that?
Yeah. So I know what we, you know, some of the things that we've talked about with some companies is, you know, you, just because you don't have a commute doesn't mean you need to fill that with work. Right. And so some people have children, they have obligations. Some people have, you know, elders that they care for, you know, there's some of those things. But even if you're 20 something that's working from home, maybe by yourself, maybe you've got roommates, you know, using that time to, you know, take a walk outside, to just breathe in the morning, to do some yoga, whatever it might be. I think, you know, it's not the right thing to, I think, ask people to fill in spaces that they previously saw as free time in this time, because it's still time that you still need for yourself. It's not empty time. It's still time you need to figure out what your day is going to look like, to have the right start for the day, to make dinner early, you know, whatever it might be. So, yeah, you do have to be careful about that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I have a sister that has 3 kids at home. There's homeschooling now, or not, whatever it is, remote schooling, and her husband work from home. So now they have 5 people sharing the internet. And it's, I know it's challenging. Where myself, my youngest is 30. So, so I do what you just said. I actually take a walk twice a week or twice a day down to the San Francisco Bay and just enjoy the view for a few minutes.
Exactly.
So the ongoing pandemic forced everyone to go remote on March 16th. And, you know, we seem to be coming out of it until recently. We're going back into it. What do you think it's going to be like when things go back to what we used to call normal? Do you think it'll be business as usual, or do you think it'll be a major change?
No, I don't think there is a going back to whatever normal we think we had. I think what the pandemic has shown is serious inequalities with work, with businesses, with our society in general. So there's definitely a push there to really understand what equity means in the US. And I don't think we're going to get, I don't think there's, now's the time to really kind of dig deep and really understand that. I also don't think that employees are going to want to go back to full-time work. I think allowing for flexibility with life in general, even if you have or don't have kids, and they do go, if you do have kids and they go back to school, the idea that you have to, the commuting time, that the lack of flexibility within your day to just run your life and run your family, I think employees are not going to stand for that. And so I think as companies, you have to be able to anticipate that. I mean, we know we did before the pandemic, we always had, Fridays during the summer are off, or we'll do work from home on Fridays, right? Just have at least one day a week where, like, I think part of the issue is a lot of companies don't treat people like adults. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just get your work done, you organize yourself, why do you need to clock in and clock out? That's just not how the world works anymore. Now, what you have to watch out for is people then overdoing it and working on weekends and working at nights and, doing all the extra stuff. But there is a right balance there, and you have to guide employees to be able to feel okay that they're taking 2 hours, in the middle of the day on a Wednesday to go to a doctor's appointment or to do whatever. So there's a little bit of education, but I don't think employees are going to want to go back to a kind of an old concept of what work is.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's interesting you mentioned treating people like adults. I think companies were forced to treat people like adults at first, and they were a little nervous. And I'm actually, most of the CEOs and executives I'm talking to have been pleasantly surprised that the people will act like adults if you give them the chance.
Yeah, I mean, of course, and it's also just, trusting your employees. I mean, isn't that a basic?
You would think so. Well, I have talked to some executives that before this said there's no way I would let people work remotely, and now they're like, you know what, I should have done this 5 years ago.
Right. So, right, and that goes for themselves as well as their employees, right? True. I mean, it's people, if you support people in being and having some of the freedom to manage their time and not feel pressured to account for every single minute, and create an atmosphere of trust with deadlines and with, goals and with things like that, there's no reason why you can have the right balance of work and life.
Yes. I agree 100%. Well, Maria, I want to thank you for your time today. This has been it's been great talking to you, and I wish the Capital Network lots of luck in the future.
Thanks so much, Mark. Great to talk to you as well.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.